tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat. Welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today. 1800-938-007, our free phone number. And the text and WhatsApp, 083-311-3311. Fran, go back to your chats with all of these councillors and what they would and wouldn't do when they were looking for our vote. And now they can't even get on with each other. It's the same old, says Pat. And nice to hear two female councillors on the radio this morning, Fran. Great to have female politicians, it says here. Somebody else saying, I believe Councillor Maureen McGrath is a very hard-working, approachable, helpful councillor and does great work in her area. Somebody else saying, if that crack happening at council meetings was happening in other places of employment, people would be in a lot of trouble. Eilish is saying that those grey old men on the municipal council think that women should listen to them as their elders and betters. They need to realise that the new well-educated, independent-thinking councillors are the future. Viva democracy, it says here. Another listener, we really have a couple of very weak councillors on board this time round. I'm not sure who you're referring to there. Lots of other stuff that's rather... that I'll have a look through before I bring it to you. Delighted to be joined now by our GP, Dr. Pat Harold. Good morning to you, Pat.
Morning, Ben.
And good to talk to you today. Pat, the latest on the vaccination path and all of that. What's your understanding, Pat?
Oh, I don't know, Fran, which way of me is up, to be honest with you. You know, sort of cautious optimism. I find a bit like one of those grey old men that... I don't know. It's there's nothing really unexpected yesterday, but there's. I just tell it from my point of view. Mm. We've started now. A lot of GPs have started vaccinating, and the big thing with us at the moment is some have started and some haven't. So we're a bit like the ones who haven't got the latest children's toy in the shop. Mm. You know, and you know what? The frustrating thing is we're not sure when we're getting it. So, I mean, I just ask people to be calm and be careful. I have an awful lot of people in the 80 up age group bringing up saying, can you give us a day? Mm. And I'm really sorry to say I can't give you a day because I don't know myself. And some GPs said, Jesus, they're amazed. They're in the first wave. They don't know why. And others haven't heard anything. Now, we've ordered the vaccines. We're ready to go. We've got everything in place. And I just have to ask people to be patient. And the message from the ICGP is no one will be left behind. There's nobody.
Right.
And
but over who 70, is so determining, Pat, which GP service gets the virus? I mean, how does that work?
Nobody knows, Fran. They really don't know. Now, I know a very prominent, they kind of wanted to get the bigger practices first, but I know smaller practices who've been told they were in the first 84 to get it. And then I know a very big GP practice who found that half their vaccines actually went to another practice. So they had like 2 days of vaccinations booked in. So they can't actually, they'll be able to do about a quarter of them. Which means you have to ring up 3/4 of people to cancel. So we're all being a bit cagey about giving people an actual time and a date. Because we can't do it ourselves. Like, for instance, I'm pretty sure we'll be going on Friday or Monday week, but I can't book in anybody just yet. So, look, it's not our fault.
Of course.
They come down from Dublin in a refrigerated van. We can't conjure them up, and we don't want to be getting everybody all ready to go. But I can tell you, Fran, nearly everybody, in fact, everybody I've talked to is really keen to get it. Mm-hmm. I think people in that age group remember polio and they remember diphtheria and they remember TB, and they're going to go and get it. And having been now, I'm 10 days post my second vaccination, which means I'm 95-96% covered. And let me tell you, Fran, that is a great feeling.
Right. And how are you feeling post-vaccination?
Oh,
you're fine.
A bit of a sore arm and a bit of a hangover for a day. Right. It wasn't a real hangover, I could say. It just felt like a hangover. And that was it. It's well worth it.
Right. What did you make, Pat, of the moving up the totem pole for people with underlying conditions
to stage four? I think it's great. I absolutely do. Now, they've brought in, people who are on dialysis, people who have heart disease, cancer treatment, all of that. Obesity. And then the next wave, people will be in my over 40. And they've actually given fairly clear guidelines about diabetes, where you are in it and where you aren't. I know some people will have two or three categories. You know, you might have heart disease, diabetes and obesity.
Yes.
So that they'll be, you know, the sort of three knocked out at one. I'm just itching to see it get going faster and bigger and get the hubs going and the vaccination centres and all this sort of stuff
right,
going.
Because
we are,
the better,
GPs are trying to fit it in among the gaps. It'll be great to see droves of dentists and SHOs and, you know, all sorts of people working away who, you know, who some of them aren't really doing much at the moment. So, you know, I'd like to see a bit more sort of enthusiasm from the vaccination. It's all sort of very obscure and we don't really know what's going on, but we're all willing to play our part. Can I give you a little bit of good news?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody in the World Health Organization at the weekend, and they said that they're having great success with dogs who are trained to pick up COVID in the early stages.
Mm.
And they're getting 85 to 95% specificity and sensitivity, which means that if you ever get an airport back run, the dogs will be able, you know, sometimes you get an airport, you see them run up and down sniffing for drugs armaments or whatever. And apparently they're really good at this. So they'll be able to sort of spot the person before they get in the airplane. Take
no
them
way.
Away, test them. Yeah.
Wow.
It's going down worldwide for 6 weeks in a row. But on the bad news, a variant has come out of California, which looks nasty.
And, does it?
And could be an awful lot, sort of.
Even by comparison to the other variants,
yeah,
this looks
catchier, meaner, more difficult. And you see, every time it mutates, you just wonder the people who've already had it and are immune for at least 6 months, if they're going to, be still immune, you know. So we want to start to crack on. So it's kind of worldwide going well, but you see, the thing does mutate.
Yeah, and there's this paragraph 10 in the path forward that speaks about, you know, the possibility of a variant like that affecting us greatly next autumn, for example, and we being in the same position that we're in now.
Yeah, you know? They started talking then about colds and coughs and those and things. Because I thought, Jesus, haven't we enough?
I know,
Did we really need to hear that?
I know, yeah. Did we really need to read down into it to find that? But there you go. Who determines, Pat, the people with the underlying conditions that deserve to be moved up the bowl a bit? Is that down to the GP to identify among your people who's suitable for this?
I imagine what we'll do is we'll get a directive, you know, because we have the stats. So, if I can find out who's got... they give specific specific details on what sort of state your kidneys have to be in to make the list. So we have that. So we can just put in kidney failure and see the people who come up and see, like, four of them make it and two of them are in the next batch, you know.
Right.
And the big message is nobody gets left behind. So if the experts in NPHET say we are putting in people with, for instance, motor neuron multiple sclerosis, we can just pull them out and find it and vaccinate them. And hopefully, friend, this is our big hope, is that the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson, when it comes in, will be available. And we can just, you know, we can keep them in the fridge like any other vaccine. Mm. The big thing with the mRNA vaccines is, you know, you have to keep them frozen and take them up and do them in a certain amount of hours. So there's huge logistic problems with it. So that's, and then see the whole... the whole place has to stop while you're injecting for the day.
Oh, right, of course, yes.
You know, because, I mean, we're very busy at the moment, actually. Mm. You know, never been busier, so trying to fit all that among the cracks is kind of...
I can imagine. The cancer patients, of course, they will be way up the line. But does it depend on what stage of cancer that you're at?
Yeah, they gave specific directions there for that, too. You know?
Yeah.
And where they are, and, you know, and when they'd be suitable for it. So, you know, in one sense, the guidelines, I just did a quick look at them this morning. They're not too bad, you know. I mean, they're fairly specific. So after that, it's just painting in, but just getting people in and getting them out and getting them vaccinated.
Mm.
But I wouldn't be... there's a few myths going on about the vaccination. There is no way you can alter your DNA, because an mRNA vaccine doesn't go into your DNA, and there's no effect on fertility.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are worried about that.
Yeah, that's the big fear for some young women, isn't
and
it?
And I don't know where that came from.
Right. Okay. But there's no effect on your DNA because what? This is into a cell, is
it? It goes into the cell, but it doesn't go into the DNA. It goes into the cell, gives its message and dies.
Right. So
because that's why it's so fragile. It just goes in and says, watch out for COVID, and kills over.
Where's all the other stuff coming from, Is this just speculation on social media?
Yeah, I think they've closed down a lot of that in social media. I don't see as much of it going around as there used to be. Or maybe people are getting serious. You know, I noticed an awful lot of Republican politicians in America were very anti-vaccine until it came out, and then they were all photographed
queuing up
their sleeves. And, you know, they shouldn't have been getting it because they weren't frontline staff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no... So they really should have been at the back of the queue.
Yeah, I suppose. In terms of, you know, the GP practice that we all remember and used to love, that we could go in and sit down in the waiting room and go in and see you, Pat, when will that return to any kind of...
Isn't that a good question, Fran? I don't know. You know, I don't know will we ever go back exactly to the way we're working. A couple of things have come out that were an improvement. Like, you might have noticed if you go to the GP now, they bang off a prescription straight down to the chemist.
Mm.
The paper prescription is gone. A few other things have happened. You know, including our own, we can actually see people, you know, virtually on camera and talk to them, which does for not for everything, but it does for an awful lot of things. You know, there are like psychiatric clinics, dermatology clinics, all kinds of clinics. People are doing it on screens.
Mm.
But one thing about the old traditional waiting room was it was a breeding ground for germs.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, you'd often go in yourself and you might have, you know, and you'd have some kids sitting beside you coughing and spluttering, and they'd be, I got into trouble for this, for saying people seem to bring the whole family with them for a day out, and everybody would say, nobody would do that. But they did, Brad, they did. And they said, BT, you know yourself, children climbing up in bookcases and everything. And, you know, so that mightn't be advisable, but hopefully we'll be able to bring people in from the cars, I often
say. Right, of course, the big fear is, though, that people are afraid of any kind of contact if they have underlying conditions. And are the people going to be left behind by this, Pat, who didn't go to you soon enough or didn't get a, you know...
Yeah, undoubtedly. And you know what we're going to have too? I'd say there'll be a load of respiratory specialists and respiratory nurses and everything coping with the people whose lungs have been damaged by COVID into the future. You know, because a huge amount of people have recovered from it, but they're not right. So, you know, we look at the deaths, we look at the people in hospital. Excuse me. But when you see the people come out, what happens to them then? You know...
Yeah. Is this the so-called long COVID?
The long COVID, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to scare people, but, you know, it's a very real entity.
Yeah, a listener on to us, in fact, right now, Pat, and says, I'm rid of COVID about a month, but I'm still getting headaches. Could you ask Dr. Pat, is that related to COVID? Or could it be something else?
Well, it could be something else. No. So I'd definitely get that checked out. You know, a new onset headache, if you never got headaches, you know, is always worth checking out. But I believe, you know, it does have a variety of things. You know, the sense of smell is kind of the famous one. But a friend of mine has a sense of smell.
Does that take ages to come back?
And months, you know, and some people are despairing when it ever come back, so hopefully it will.
Mick from Clonmel onto us as well. He's allergic to ibuprofen, I can never pronounce
ibuprofen.
That. Yeah, and he said that he had anaphylactic shock because of it in the past, and he's wondering how he's fixed with vaccination.
Yeah, Mick, there's specific advice for anybody who's anaphylactic shock. Now, they generally will ask if you have anaphylactic shock to the first vaccine, or there's a thing in it called, I think, PEG, which is kind of a carrier gel. Very, very few people are allergic to. I would imagine that the ibuprofen wouldn't matter at all.
Mm.
But you would tell the vaccinator, and they might decide to tailor it and give you a different one or something. But I wouldn't think it's an issue. But,
right.
But one of the questions you'll be asked is, you know, do you have any history of anaphylaxis and the consent form?
Right. Somebody jumping a little bit ahead of themselves here and saying, what happens with the vaccine left over in the GP practices?
Well, that's a great question because we have a collection of subs ready to go. So we've people 80 to 80, 85 up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we've three or four to go, we have the phone numbers, and I've identified people 88 to 85 with their own cars, and they're ready to move, and they're the subs, and they'll come in and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we couldn't get them, we'd go for the ones in late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't be start. Now, the thing is, you can't start to go and say, there's my pal 55 with heart failure and he could do with it, you know, much as you'd like to. We can't go below the 70.
Right.
But there's plenty of people there, but there's a big... nobody wants to throw them in the bin.
Right. Are you still getting a lot of people ringing up to inquire, Pat?
About the vaccine?
Yeah, about the...
Yeah, and
you have nothing really
I have nothing to tell them now, to be honest. And the ones who are lucky enough that they've got the vaccine and they've got their delivery dates will be contacting their patients.
Right.
So there's not much point ringing and coming up to us in the post office, the supermarket and things and asking us because we don't know.
Right.
But Sinead wants to know... A lot of practices do know.
Sinead wants to know, do you know anything about carers being vaccinated and where they are?
I didn't see it in the news last night, no, the carers, but I might be wrong in that. You know, there's a lot of information to take in.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It says here they're being vaccinated in Northern Ireland at the moment, so there you go. Somebody else wondering about an allergy even to penicillin. And again, the same advice would apply, I guess.
Yeah, the same advice applies.
Yeah. Somebody else wanting to know, which drug is Dr. Pat expecting? Which vaccine are you expecting?
It'll be an mRNA one, which is the...
Pfizer or Moderna.
And you'll get one or the other.
Right.
I think most people are getting the Pfizer at the moment. And now, you can't say, look, I'd prefer one to another. You know, the general advice everybody says is take the first vaccine you're offered.
Right.
And I wouldn't worry too much. You know, every one of them will give you great protection.
All right, Pat, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you and bye-bye to you. Now, that's our GP, Dr. Pat Harold, speaking to us there. 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp is 083-311-3311. We're still getting a lot of text in following my conversation with Councillors Maureen McGrath and Anne-Marie Ryan. And a lot of people with some very strong opinions about that and about misogyny in workplaces and misogyny as they see it in our councils as well. And I'll have a look through it and see what it is that we can bring to you. All right, I'll take a break. Back in a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.